Welcome to the Essay Conversations podcast, where sexaholics get together to share our experience, strength, and hope with our fellowship's bi-monthly magazine. My name is Isaac S., and I am a sexaholic and your host for today's episode of Essay Conversations. I'm also joined alongside Cowie W. and Bill R. Guys, how are you doing today?
Doing awesome.
Doing great, Isaac.
Woo-hoo. I think we've all had a pretty great experience with today's interview, if I may be so bold.
You bet.
It was good to see Jackie. I've never seen her in person. Well, not in person, but I've never seen her. So it was really cool.
A lot of experience, strength, and hope.
I was impressed with their story, their testimony on the trustee side, and really how it connected, because the trustees are so involved with events and the events lean so heavily on trustees. I had no idea.
I love the clarity of learning that trustees are not just old timers, because that's what I thought. And also understanding the difference between GDA, what GDA even means. That was really cool. Mm-hmm.
Very complicated service structure. But we covered it all. So if you ever want to know what all those things mean, stay tuned.
Yeah.
GDA, delegate.
Same butted pyramid.
Right.
You guys will get a nice look at the inner workings of the SA. I want to say it's not corporate structure, but structure.
The service structure.
Thank you. Yeah. The service structure. But we're going to go ahead and prep to talk about today's guests. We have Jim B. and Jackie H. talking about trustees. And we also have Dave H. and Mark P. coming on to talk about the LA convention. So those are two influences and articles that are going to be mentioned in the upcoming release of the SA magazine. But before we get into the actual interview portion, let's go over some SA announcements.
All righty. So the SA SNON SA Teen International Summer Convention will be taking place this year in Los Angeles, USA on July 12 to 14. And the theme is Courage to Change. So for more information about the convention, please visit sa.org/events.
And the magazine, our essay magazine, is borrowing the same theme, Courage to Change, for the April 2024 issue. So be sure to subscribe to the magazine for a free copy of the April article by using the link in the show notes below.
And I think it's worth to say that throughout this interview, there's a lot of references to things that will be linked in the show notes below. So just prepare for that. Whatever platform you're listening on, just scroll down a little bit and you'll see the URL or the link, and you can get all the information for everything we talk about today. But with that being said, let's go ahead and start the interview. All right, guys. So for this episode of the SA Conversations podcast, we are doing something a little bit different. We have multiple writers for each of the articles or each of the topics that we're going to be talking about today. So we have multiple guests to go with each of those topics. And we're actually going to start out with Jim B. talking about looking for trustees in SA. So Jim, would you please go ahead and just introduce yourself and tell us a bit about trustees and some of the content you wrote for the magazine?
Sure. My name is Jim, and I'm a sexaholic.
Hi, Jim.
My
Jim.
Sobriety date is July 11th, 2006. I'm here because I'm a member of the nominations committee and also a former trustee. The nominations committee's goal is to bring viable candidates to the fellowship to become trustees. If a person has a real passion for service and has served at their local level, or maybe hopefully at the regional level of being a delegate or an alternate delegate or some other office, that's all helpful before you become a trustee. However, it is not necessary. I was never a delegate. I was never active on the regional level before I became a trustee. It requires 5 years of sobriety and a passion to do some work. It's described as an unpaid part-time job. In my experience, I had to read the notes and I had to read the agenda and maybe do some readings before the meeting to be prepared for a trustee meeting. And the trustees meet once a month, but it didn't take that much time. It wasn't that taxing on my life to be a trustee. The benefits of being a trustee is you get to go to all of the international conventions, and I was so fortunate during my trusteeship. I went to 10 international conventions, one being in Jerusalem and one being in Madrid, in addition to several all over the United States. So I benefited a lot. I made some of the best friends that I have in my life as being a trustee. We met together and we got to know each other, you know, personally as well as professionally. And those relationships continue today. We still have a once a month SA meeting on Zoom of old trustees or current trustees. One more thing, you know, in addition to going to international conventions, trustees are also asked to go to GDA meetings. They're on Zoom. And so I got to see the organization from a little bit different perspective, not only from the trustee standpoint, but from the delegate standpoint. And again, I made a lot of connections through being a trustee and meeting delegates and alternate delegates. I've been sober 17 years now, and I can easily say that the 5 years I was a trustee was the best 5 years of my sobriety.
Jim, for the newcomer who's new to SA and doesn't understand trustee GDA, can you break down the service structure of SA so that they might have a better understanding?
Sure. It is somewhat a nebulous term and a lot of initials, and I can understand why it's kind of hard. But let me describe. An inverted pyramid is our service structure. Imagine a pyramid with the apex at the bottom and the base at the top. And that's where we start. The most important part of the service structure is the individual and the individual's group. And the group is what is at the top of that inverted pyramid. One level down below that is the intergroup. One level down below that is the region. And one level down below that is the GDA. Now, the group sends a group service representative to an intergroup and to represent the group. And then the intergroup functions and tells the group about business that's gone on with other groups and with the region. Then the intergroup elects a person called IGR, or intergroup representative, and he goes to the region and has regional meetings and learns about what's going on and describes what's going on in his intergroup and group, and also learns about what's going on at the level of the General Delegate Assembly. Okay, so the region sends delegates and alternate delegates to meet with the GDA. The GDA meets on phone every other month, and the GDA meets in person twice a year. And the GDA votes and carries out the policy. Now, the trustees are at a little bit different level of service than this service structure, but a trustee is voted on and elected, and there are about 9 or 10 trustees in the world representing all different areas. The work they do is they oversee all the committees of SA, the national committees or international committees, and they look over finance and policy and make some policy and make some decisions. But most everything that the trustees do, they send back to the GDA to be voted on and approved. So the trustees don't have any power per se. The GDA is where the voting and the action comes. And again, the GDA serves the regions, and the regions serve the intergroup, and the intergroup serves the individual in the group. And so the utmost and highest point is the individual.
Thank you so much, Jim. We really appreciate your service and everyone who is of service to SA. Like you said, any member who comes to a meeting is the most important at the top. I like that inverted pyramid. I'm a visual thinker, so that really helped me to understand it. It helped me because, you know, I open up for our local meeting here, and it makes me think about just how important that service is, you know, because without the people coming to meetings, really there is no fellowship, you know. So I just appreciate your
exactly.
And one thing that stuck out to me reading what's going to now be in the essay magazine, your letter and your testimony, what really stuck out to me was just this opportunity to be connected with just a wide range of sober members of the program. I'm sure there's a lot of experience, strength, and hope that comes from that, you know. And so maybe you could speak to on the personal level, you know, how being a trustee impacted your sobriety. You know, how did it impact your sobriety?
That's a great question, and it might be a hard one for me to answer. From the first, and I'm kind of joking, but you know what? I didn't find it necessary to act out sexually during those 5 years I was a trustee. So there you go. It helped it that way. I want to back up a little bit more. You said something about how you do service at the local level. And when I became a trustee, my only service was really at the local level or at the group or intergroup level. I was not a delegate in the GDA at all before I became a trustee. And that made it a little bit hard for me, but I'm the treasurer of my local home group, and I sponsor a lot of people. I'm an old retired guy, and I don't really have a whole lot of hobbies, and so service is my hobby. I sponsor a lot of people, and I encourage those people to get into service, and all of that work, you know, keeps me sober. I say today that my sponsees that call me do more, as much as second to God, do as much for me staying sober as any other one thing. And luckily, through my service as being I'm a delegate now, I've kind of done things backwards, but being a trustee, you know, I've met and picked up sponsees, you know, all over the world, all over the United States. And that just, wow. I mean, they're so important to me. For at a personal level, that's what I got.
Thanks, Jim. I just want to go over to Jackie because she has a history of being the first person to be elected via Zoom. How was that?
Hi, I'm Jackie. I'm a sexaholic, and my sobriety date is the 4th of January, 2010. Yeah, that was something new. Yeah. I was asked to be a trustee the first time. That was when I've also been on the GDA, and that was in 2016, was my first GDA. And I must say that was quite overwhelming, the whole trip, because I had to come from Europe to America. And doing that sober was really overwhelming, and I was after, I think a couple of months after I was asked to be a trustee, and that at that moment there was something in my private life that I wasn't able to do, but also it was just too overwhelming for me. And in 2019, Bill S. asked, you know, would I consider to be a trustee? So I filed in my forms, questionnaires, for the trustee, and lo and behold, what is it, 2020, March, April, COVID hit all of us, all the countries, so it wasn't just us, but everybody, and we weren't able to travel. Thank goodness Zoom meetings, Zoom connections, doing things via internet was established quite well. So my being elected was via Zoom. And that was the very first time. So I got to see the others, and I had seen the other trustees on the Board of Trustee meeting when I was interviewed. But we had to do the rest only online. So as Jim said, he had gone to 10 internationals. I missed out on some of them, or missed out due to COVID. And that's perfectly fine too. You know, I'd heard from... Yeah, another member who has been trustees, you know, how they were able to bond together. And with the people who were there as trustee, I was able to bond with them in a different manner. The best is to be able to see each other face to face. That's really great. You know, times in between, you get to talk to each other. Just a little bit different than being in one of the chat rooms on Zoom, put there to wait. But other than that, you know, wonderful. Great, it works. So as I also wrote it down, and that makes has opened up new possibilities also for the GDA, for the General Delegates Assembly, that they don't have to wait until the July convention to elect the new possible new trustees.
Thanks, Jackie. So this is a question to all of you, because we are having the international convention coming up. So does it mean that for you to be a trustee, you have to be able to attend conventions? I know Jim touched on it, but does it mean that for you to be a trustee, you have to travel for conventions? And is that a qualifier?
If I can answer that first. So the trustee meeting is on like Wednesday or Thursday before the weekend starts for the international convention. But let me tell you this, and this is something that's a big deal. I mean, they say that being a trustee is an unpaid position, but SA pays all expenses for a trustee to travel and be registered and have meals and everything around an international convention. So it doesn't require anything but your time.
That sounds like a great perk.
Yep. And what you also get to do is you get to speak at meetings. People want you to speak at the internationals. Unfortunately, this year I won't be able to go to the Los Angeles convention. I have a bit of a physical problem that, you know, with 10 hours flight, and probably sleeping in a hotel bed is not going to make things well. So I made that choice. But I am sorry about that, but I don't get to meet you face to face.
Yeah, we'll miss you there.
Speaking of the convention, I realize I failed to also introduce our other authors for this episode of the podcast. We're also joined by Dave H. and Mark P. of California, USA.
How about you, Mark and Dave?
Well, I'll give you my point of view on that, and it's really only my point of view because I've never been a trustee. However, I have both a sponsor and a service sponsor who either have been a trustee or are a trustee, both of which live either in California or near California. So I know that those two will be coming to our convention, which comes up in July of this year. Jackie, we'll be really disappointed that you're not going to be able to join us in person. So we look forward to another time when we are able to meet in person as well. From our perspective in planning the convention, we don't have any expectation of anybody coming, except that we planned for 600 people to be available. So we have a hotel and we have meals that will accommodate 600 people. So the more the merrier. And if you haven't registered, please do so. In just a few minutes, we'll talk about our convention in more detail, and I'll give you some information on how to do that, how to register.
Awesome.
Bringing it down to, you know, the ordinary guy, ordinary gal who's coming to SA, for you, just from the beginning, you know, Jim and Jackie, while we're still on the topic of the trustee thing, you know, obviously you don't just become a trustee like all of a sudden. Like, you know, for you, what was it like joining SA? And then what was that kind of journey to being more involved? And, you know, what was the very first service you did? And then what led to more and what led to more? You know, either one of you who want to go.
I'll jump in there, Jim.
Please.
Yeah. Wow. I can remember there was a workshop from somebody, and they said, you know, if you want to stay connected with SA and be on the lifeboat, you know, in the middle of the lifeboat, start doing service in your group. I don't remember what my first service position was. I think maybe literature. And then later on it was the treasury. And later on, I got into the intergroup, helped the intergroup set up with a corporate bank account, did that for some time. And then onwards to, after the intergroup, as IGR, that is the representative from our intergroup to the region, Mark asked. And then from the region, I was asked to be a delegate. So, yeah, the thing is that, especially for me being a female, and most of the times the only female in the group, was doing service, kept me connected with SA. I could interact with the other male members, but it didn't have to be on an emotional or personal level. You know, I could keep it clean, to say it that way. And in the beginning, I needed that to be able to stay sober myself and work on my own sobriety. Mm. So yeah, service has been a lifeline, and I just kept on doing it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. It's almost like, you know, in my addiction, I'm, you know, I don't want anyone to rely on me. I want to, you know, I just want to do my own thing. You know what I mean? I don't want anyone. I don't want to have any responsibilities. You know, I don't want to, you know, any of that. So I love that, you know, starting with literature, you know, starting just taking care of the literature, you know, now there's someone depending on me that we need a book at this meeting, you know, just to get started, you know. I mean, it's great, you know. And then I love how the service just grew and grew for you. And, you know, what about you, Jim? What was your first service you ever did?
So when I came into SA, I was desperate to get sober, and I had reached my bottom, and I was willing to go to any length. Well, my sponsor had been active in service. And he's the one that came to the Memphis area and started SA meetings, and he became my sponsor. And so we had a small, you know, couple of meetings a week. And I just got voluntold by my sponsor to get there early, to greet people at the door. And then a few months later, I started a meeting. I live about 30 miles outside of Memphis, and I started a meeting, and I became the treasurer, and I was the one with the key, and I opened up, you know, every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, I opened the meeting, and I did that for years. And when it came time for me to apply to be a trustee, I had no idea. I mean, you know, I had just been active, and I loved SA, and I was sober for, I think, 8 years or 9 years. And my sponsor said, "Have you ever thought about being a trustee?" Well, that just kind of overwhelmed me. And I said, "No, what's the path?" And he showed me, you know, you have to jump through a few hoops. You have to fill out some stuff and be interviewed a couple of times. And I just was willing to go to any length. I was willing to do what he told me. And so I became, I mean, long story short, I became a trustee because my sponsor told me to, or he invited me. He suggested that I do that.
Strongly suggested. I love it.
I just wonder, how does service look like in a convention? So this is like two layer, and anybody, including Mark and Dave, can answer this. For a newcomer, how does service look like when you go to a convention? And then if you're a quote-unquote an old-timer or a trustee, what what does service look like? Paint a nice picture for somebody who's either never attended a convention or it's their first time. What can they expect?
I'd like to take a shot at answering that first, if I could, Kawe. The first thing is, let's give some basics of what the International Convention is. So we have our International Convention coming up in July of this year, 2024. The actual dates are July 12th through July 14th. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's being held at the LAX Marriott, which is a Marriott hotel about a mile away from the LAX airport. Makes it very convenient to get here and come to the convention. It's actually two conventions occurring at the same time and conveniently at the same place. One is an SA convention and the other is an SNON convention. So we're working together with our SNON partners to plan that convention, but recognizing that it's really two fellowships, two 12-step fellowships coming together for that convention. And as you've heard on some of the conversation earlier than this, there are some activities occurring before the convention. So from an SA perspective, on Wednesday, there is a trustee meeting. On Thursday, there is the first of 2 days of a GDA, the General Delegate Assembly meeting. And on Friday, the second day of that same meeting. And so on Friday, that GDA meeting overlaps with the beginning of the convention itself. So when we're talking to the newcomer, show up on Friday. You need to be ready to start attending meetings at 3 o'clock Friday afternoon. So figure out how to get your hotel room and your transportation to get there and be ready to sit in a meeting. And the way I would say that a newcomer provides service is, number one, it's really, really basic. Show up, suit up and show up and be in the room on time and ready to listen. You know, my sponsor, when I first came in the program about 14 years ago, was a really nice man, but he was very serious about the program. And he said to me, "Mark, suit up and show up and shut up," which was stop talking about me or anyone else and just listen to what's being told. And I got to really say that was tremendously beneficial for me. As you can tell, I can still remember my my sponsor's advice, and it worked. It allowed me to sit quietly and learn from those in the room, many of which had long-term sobriety, and that can start sinking into me and helped me start to develop some sobriety. I'm a recovering sexaholic. I've been sober today since April of 2018, so I've been able to string some days together. But that didn't come from me. It came from being involved in this program. And you've heard about service, and we're talking about service now. So if you're a newcomer, show up and jump in. Now, if you are an old timer, we expect a lot more out of you. So Jackie and Jim and all the other trustees, if you're showing up, we probably have already contacted you and said, "Hey, would you be one of our main speakers?" So there are four SA speakers over the course of the weekend, and each of them are asked to speak for anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes telling their story about recovery. And those are the some of the special messages that are available at the International Convention. It's international. Literally, people from all over the world are going to show up here in California. Today, we have a little over 200 people that have already registered. And as I told you earlier, we're expecting eventually to have around 600. And some of those people, one is from Singapore. We got one from Mexico, one from Germany, couple other countries outside of the U.S. By far right now, most of those who have registered are from the U.S., but not all in California, from all over the country. So this is an activity where men and women in SA are showing up to say, We are involved in recovery. We are involved in a recovery called Sexaholics Anonymous, a 12-step program that for us works. And so it's an opportunity for young, old, those with some sobriety, some newcomers, and some with a lot of sobriety to come together and to share in love and fellowship with each other. The other thing that I wanted to particularly be sure that we talked about is in that meeting, and you know what? I could talk for an hour or two about the International Convention. So I'm going to just say a little bit more than shut up and look for some questions. But we have some breakout meetings, and the topics of those breakout meetings are just amazing. So I was talking to a man by the name of Greg, and his helper is Stephanie. The two of them are putting together the SA program, which is the broad name for all of the breakout meetings that we have. So we have a couple of meetings around. One's called Roy K. Shares. We all know Roy K. as our founder. And so we've got a meeting that's specifically focused on what Roy did as part of getting SA set up and then putting SA, the fellowship, into a position where it's that we can participate in it today. We have a meeting about passive lust, a meeting about lust-based decision-making, a meeting about shame and the antidote to shame, some meetings about meditation. One that I'm interested in is called free-floating anxiety. I don't know what that means, but I'm sure it's going to help me. And then many other meetings. So just a host of opportunities to be in a room with other men and women that are talking about recovery from different perspectives. Now, if that's not enough, on Saturday night, we have a show that's called a variety show. And because the theme of our convention is courage to change, the variety show theme is courage to be on stage. So we would ask anybody that would like to, they don't have to have talent. They just have to have the willingness to be on stage and be part of a variety show. That's my pitch. Come join us. We'd love to have you join us here.
No talent necessary.
Dave, yeah. You got something to add?
Love it.
There's no way I can follow that. So I'm just going to soak all that in and wait for the next question.
It's good you touched on entertainment, because I remember thinking the Polish convention I attended virtually, there was some singing and it intimidated me. I was like, oh my goodness, do I have to know how to sing? So I just wanted to know what other types of entertainment is going to be there.
So we don't have any of the details yet. That's all part of the planning. So we have an individual, it happens to be a person from the Essanon Fellowship, who's leading, organizing that program. And what they've asked is, as you register and check the box that says, I'd like to participate in the variety show. And then that individual will contact you, find out what it is you want to do. Do you want to play the piano? Do you want to, the conventions I've been at, I saw one person sing, and he sang with a harmonica. And there's another who didn't sing at all, but told some jokes. And of course, they're appropriate jokes suitable for an SA convention full of men and women, as well as the Essanon partnership being there as well. So there's a tremendous number of opportunities to be part of this entertainment.
Hmm. I come from a group in a Zoom group where we are very talented at singing badly. So do you think we stand a chance?
So I would say to you, register for the convention, come join us, and we'll find a spot for you in our variety show.
Oh, great.
There you go. Wow. Love it. Well, I'm anxious to see how that free-floating anxiety session is going to go. I hope it goes off well.
Thank you for that. I think I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you how to register. Somebody wants to go to that convention. You're a newcomer and you say, all right, I'm convinced, Mark. I heard your speech. Thanks. I'm going to be there. Well, how do you get there? Or not so much how do you get there, but how do you register for it? And the simplest way to know about it is to go to our SACO, SA International website. That's the easiest way. So the SA.org is the international, SACO is their international committee's website, SA.org, O-R-G. Go there, look up our July summer convention for 2024. There'll be a link then to our website, to the international, Los Angeles International Committee's website. And then on that website is everything you need to know. It gives you a link to register for the convention. It gives you a link to reserve a hotel room for the convention. There's a set of frequently asked questions that gives you a lot of information about the details of what's going to go on when you get there. So go to SACO.org and then look up our July summer of 2024 international convention.
We all know how to register now. No excuse.
Well, and most
then book your flight ticket.
For the person who is thinking about the finances of that convention, instead of 200 only being registered, we will creep up to 600, and then financially we'll be fine. Thank you.
Love it. So, you know, on that topic, you know, if I was just, I'm still considering going, you know, but, you know, and one thing that's really important to me is my sobriety. So how would the convention, how does that impact sobriety from, you know, any of you who have been to a convention, you know, just.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that. My name is Dave. I'm a recovering sexaholic. My sobriety date is 11/11/22, and I'm really grateful to be a part of this team. And yeah, I remember my first international convention, which was also in California. And the thing that really stands out is the connection with people, the connection with my sponsor, meeting people that I still see today. And I'm one of those, I turn into a five-year-old kid who's like seeing his friends from school, like, hey, I know that guy, or hey, that's my friend. People that I met, you know, numerous years ago, and I see those people again and again and again. And when you join us in Los Angeles in July, you're going to meet people that you will have maybe already established relationships with. You'll meet new people. You'll hear, you know, yeah, me too type of stories. You realize you're not alone. You're going to have time to sit and talk and laugh and cry and read and just have those connections that are going to be lifelong aids to our sobriety. I'm so looking forward to that. And I say that from the position of a guy that always says, I don't want to go to that. And then, you know, because if my sponsor is listening to this, he's going to say, when have you ever taken my direction to do anything like go to an international convention? But, you know, on occasion I have. And when I followed his guidance and gone to the conventions and gone to the meetings and the camps, it's those connections that really make the difference. So mm-hmm. if I'm in the shoes of someone who's thinking about it or not, I'm going to go to iclosangeles2024.com right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get registered because it's that connection mm-hmm. that's going to make such a difference in my sobriety.
So what Dave wow. just gave you is the actual link to our international convention website. So you can get there going to there directly, or you can get there going through the SACO.org website. I'd like to add one other thing that I hope would be helpful as well is one of the things being part of the planning committee that I'm very much aware of is with the hotel, we have to track room nights. So how many room nights have been reserved? And that's part of the contractual obligation with the hotel. And we set up a certain number of room nights for every night. So Sunday night, the last night of the convention, we only had like 10 or 12 room nights reserved. And very quickly, they sold out. And we started getting calls from people that are trying to register or trying to reserve a room saying, well, what's going on Sunday night? We want that same reduced rate for Sunday night. And after talking to a few of those individuals, what I learned was because it's summer, Los Angeles, Southern California, many people are coming here and that's just part of a vacation opportunity. So they're coming early, they're staying for the convention, and then they're staying for some time afterwards. So they wanted Sunday night to be able to get that reduced hotel rate as well. So we've upped the numbers, we fixed that problem. So come join us, and if it works for you to join us for your vacation, we'd love to have you here for that part of it as well.
Love it. Bring the kids, bring the wife, you know, it's going to be a beach vacay.
There you go.
Come on down. Bring the surfboard. There's plenty of rentals. You know?
Well, that feeds into your previous question, Bill. Come for recovery, stay to live life. You know, what does that do for my sobriety? I get to go to a convention. I get to make those connections. I get to stay sober. And I get to go out and see a beautiful region of the country and live my life and see history and museums and national parks and sports and culture and entertainment and the Pacific Ocean. And there's all kinds of things to do in the context of living my life as a sober man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, for me, like as a married man, it's like, I know I got to get my wife's approval, right? If I'm going to go. And, you know, and so much so in all this time being in recovery, it's like going to meetings, doing this, and it's taking me away, you know, it's taking me away from the family, away from the kids, you know, but we all know. And now that it's actually seeping in, it's like, it's actually, like you said, allowing me to live my life, allowing me to actually do, you know, be present when I am home, you know, rather than just not being there at all, you know? So it's really, that's incredible. Like you said, make it a vacation, you know, bring the kids, bring the wife, you know, it's going to be a party. So that's awesome. I love it so much. And thank you guys just all for being here. You know, thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Mark and Dave. You know, I'm sure the convention is going to be a great time. One other thought I had was the Zoom, you know, so many people are doing Zoom meetings. You know, how many people are going to be meeting, you know, at this convention that have never met physically, but have been doing meetings for years, you know, like.
Right. That's a good point. It's an awesome experience to meet people, and they're not real little 2x2 pictures. You know, they're actually human beings. I remember meeting one guy in the Southern California area, and I told him, "You are really tall," because I never knew that until I met him in person. And it's those fun anecdotal things that just add so much to recovery.
Yes. Connections.
And, you know, Jackie commented on her being elected to be a trustee during the beginning of the pandemic time, right, in 2020. And many of us can remember things, including our jobs literally being shut down and not opening up for over a year. And that's one of the excitements about this particular convention is we are the first convention in the United States in person in 5 years. So the last convention was in, I believe it was the summer of 2019. Now there was a couple of conventions after that, but they were all held through Zoom. There was not an in-person.
Except for the one in Poland last year, but that's out of the
U.S. Outside of the U.S., correct. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. So this is, we're excited about it. And I'm believing that the attendance will reflect that people from particularly the U.S. are going to come and say, you know what, we haven't been here to a convention like this in 5 years. Let's go be part of that, be part of being the service that we talked about and being involved in it. So if you're in the sound of my voice, ask your friends and ask them to register. Go to one of those two websites that we shared with you and register and come join us.
Incredible, incredible. Thank you for your service in all aspects that you do to make this fellowship possible. And thank you all. We're so grateful to have this opportunity to share this way on this new medium. So continue to join us. Thanks. And share it with your SA buddies.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to read any of the articles from today's episode, you can find the links to them in the show notes below. And while you're there, be sure you subscribe to the SA Magazine to get your digital or physical copy today. Anything you have heard on this podcast is strictly the opinion of the individual participant. The principles of SA are found in the 12 steps and 12 traditions. This is an anonymous podcast. Please keep the name and contact information of anyone you speak with in SA to yourself. And what we say here, let it stay here. Be sure you subscribe to the podcast. New episodes go out every other month alongside new publications of the SA Magazine.